The air was on fire. The prairie was burning, snapping and hissing, sparks flying in every direction, propelled by the scorching wind. Sparks falling as thick as snowflakes in winter, burning tiny holes in cloth, stinging exposed skin. Her eyes were dry and scratchy. Her hair had escaped its pins so that it fell down her back, and when she picked up one of those pins, it was scalding to the touch. Everything was hot to the touch. Even the wet gunny sacks they were using to beat out the flames were sizzling. When Reyna glanced back at the house, she saw the dancing, hellish flames reflected in the windows.
"To the north," her father called.
And she ran on bare legs and bare feet that stung from earth that was a fiery stovetop as she beat out a daring lick of flame that had jumped the firebreak with all her might. Just beyond the hastily plowed ditch, the emerging bluestem grasses hissed. Some exploded, but the fire did not look as if it was going to cross the break.
"Save some of that for the others, Reyna," her father called.
And even from that distance, he was at the head of the west break, and through the sooty air she recognized the twinkle in his eyes. Then he turned and pointed south.
"Gerda, go!"
Reyna watched her older sister leap toward another vaulting flame, beating it out before it had a chance. It was almost a game, really. A game of chicken. Who would win, the flames or the Olsons? So far, in 10 years of homesteading, the Olsons had come out victorious every time. Gerda smiled triumphantly, waving back at Reyna, the outside row of vulnerable wheat only a few inches tall between them. At times like this, when the air was so stifling and smoky, Reyna didn't feel quite so small, quite so inconsequential as when the air was clear. On a cool, still early summer morning, the prairie could make her feel like the smallest of insects, trapped in a great dome of endless pale blue sky, the waving grasses undulating just like the sea against an unbroken horizon. But Gerda, Reyna knew, never felt this way. Gerda was stronger, bigger. Gerda was untouchable. Even from the prairie fires that flared up regularly in Nebraska, spring and fall. Gerda would know what to do in the face of fire or ice or men. Gerda wasn't here. Reyna blinked, gaped at the McGuffey reader in her hand. She wasn't on the prairie. She was in a schoolhouse. Her schoolhouse. The second class was droning the lesson. God made the little birds to sing and flit from tree to tree. 'Tis he who sends them in the spring to sing for you and me. Reyna sat straighter, tried to stretch her neck, but it was no use. She was smaller than the biggest boy sitting in the last row of benches. Her pupils, precious minds that were hers to form, or so she'd been told in the letter accompanying her certificate. But the oldest one was 15, only a year younger than she. And the way he looked at her made her shiver, made her think of a well that was so deep the bottom would always remain a mystery. No, it wasn't this boy's eyes that made her think that. This boy's eyes were blue, his gaze was measured, and if there was a wildness in them, only at times, for he was a well-brought-up lad, it was a wildness she believed she could tame. His eyes were chocolate brown and soft with an understanding Reyna had never before felt she needed, until she first beheld that fathomless gaze. Gerda would not feel so silly. Gerda would not allow herself to be so understandable. But Gerda was teaching in her own school across the border into Dakota territory, 3 days' travel away, and boarding with a family there. A family not at all like the Pedersons, with whom Reyna found herself sharing a roof, food, and air that was becoming too polluted with glances, sighs, and tears. And beds, Beds upstairs, beds downstairs, beds without borders, without walls, too exposed to those glances and sighs.